Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction.
Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone.
Today we're recommending A Game of Thrones by George R.R. Martin. Impress your friends with real-life magic. Act like you read a long book without any actual reading.
Think of all the masturbating you'll get done.
So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. That's audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Enjoy the episode. Reese's, put down that Merc Monk.
But he's my friend.
In the land of fantasy, on the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plains. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor. In the shadow of the mountain, cry their name.
Until the deed is done, until the quest is won, the battle's in our minds, until the end of time.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And today we're telling tales of ogres
and ibis. I don't know what that voice was.
That was like a step away from your usual voice.
You got to keep pushing. You got to keep going deeper.
Yeah, that's how you find the good ideas.
Herbalists.
There we go. Now it's going somewhere.
Yeah, now we got it.
But we picked these prompts ourselves because we, like idiots, forgot to ask again.
Yeah.
But this week we're kind of doing something different because we just made this up right before we press record. Here it goes.
Sometimes it goes that way.
But we wanted to open up the prompts for next week's episode on YouTube. So if you're listening on YouTube and you want to submit a prompt, just go ahead and leave a comment with whatever regular comment it would be. And then at the very bottom, just let us know that it's a prompt, because if you don't, it'll just be a word.
It'll just
be
a word. Yeah.
We won't know what it is.
It could be anything. I don't know.
It could be anything.
it could be like shovel. I don't know.
Don't pick shovel. It'll be whatever. But we'll pick from this week's episode the prompts for next week. And if you're listening to this and you see a 52 after this episode, like an episode 52, you probably shouldn't leave a comment with your prompt. But you should still comment and just say hi, because we get those notifications.
Yeah, you can if you want. Nobody's going to see it. So you want to save them for the newest one.
For the newest one.
So that would be... You're good on 51. This is episode 51.
So if you're on 51, there's no new episode?
Yes.
Comment the fuck out of this episode.
Yeah, go fucking crazy.
But before we get into stuff here,
yeah,
Josh, what did you do this week?
Well, today, not all week, but just today, I watched the Mortal Kombat movie, because it's a great movie. And it's kind of like just a fantasy movie, but in Mortal Kombat.
In Mortal Kombat land. It is a good movie. I like that movie.
It's like the perfect blend of like video game and movie. Like, there's some video games like shit in there. You know, like the Mortal Kombat like stuff where, Scorpion rips his mask off and uses the fire breath and all that.
Yeah.
But there's also a fucking castle and a reptile man.
Yeah. And that's fantasy enough for me. Also,
and a lightning wizard.
A lightning wizard. Yeah, I was about to get there. Who is played by the Highlander?
Yes, Christopher Lambert.
I knew that.
He's from Belgium.
Mm-hmm. I knew that because in the sequel, he loses his like hat gimmick, and he's just man with white hair.
Yeah,
and he's just the Highlander then.
Yes.
So, but that is a good movie, and it was a good video game movie before they actually really started to make video game movies.
Yeah, like every other video game movie up until that point is complete shit.
Complete shit. Let me put it this way: it's the original Batman. It's the Michael Keaton Batman.
Yeah,
of video game movies.
That's great. That's a great analogy. Man, you should like
speaking
write
of
stuff.
Analogies, which sounds like Valentine's.
Oh yeah.
Did you do anything on Valentine's Day?
No, I didn't do anything on Valentine's Day. Not because, like, you know, nobody loves me or anything.
Mm-hmm. I love you, so that's one.
You love me. No, I didn't do anything. I just hung out here.
Yeah. Didn't you eat any chocolate or anything?
No, I'm allergic to chocolate.
Oh, that's right. It gives you migraines.
Yeah, I get, like, mad, just, like, sick.
Oh, that's a terrible. Valentine's Day is a pretty bad holiday, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Valentine's Day should be a holiday. Not because of, like, the greeting card thing or whatever. I just think people need to, like, learn how to, like, stick a dick and stuff good. If you're fucking whoever you're fucking right, there ain't no need for Valentine's Day. Nobody's going to be like, you know, we need a day where you need to treat me good. Because if you're fucking right, you're getting treated good.
Well, I think, unfortunately, Josh, we are no longer just cavemen and women. Where sex is the only other activity that we do.
Speak for yourself, Dom.
I've set myself up for this perfect segue, Josh. You ready for this?
Just like the last one.
Just like the last one. You ready? You ready for what I did this week?
I'm ready.
All right. On Valentine's Day, I went and saw Jupiter Ascending with Corey.
Dude, I saw that you saw it because I stalk you on the internet. And you liked it, right?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Look, I'm going to say something that's wildly unpopular, but I like the Wachowski twins, the Wachowski siblings, because they're not brothers anymore.
The Wachowskis.
The Wachowskis. I love them. I love their work. I think the Matrix sequels are good. Mm-hmm. And half of you probably just stopped listening to the show.
Well, have you seen Jupiter Ascending?
No, I haven't.
All right. Before we went to go see the movie, Corey really wanted to see the movie. She's a big sci-fi nerd.
Yeah.
So I was on Rotten Tomatoes. I was like, let me just check out the rating. I've not heard a thing about this movie. I just want to see what, you know, people are saying.
Uh-huh.
And it had a 22%. And I went into that film with low expectations. With no expectations, honestly. I was just hoping to have a good time. And I loved it. The first chase sequence is incredible.
I read that article that you put up where they had
Did you read that? Where they had a shoot for 6 minutes a day.
That's insane.
To get that fucking chase sequence. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
it's awesome. What's really cool about seeing the effects in this movie, I'll admit some of the CG on certain characters doesn't look amazing. But, I mean, it's CG. It's, you know, it's whatever.
Right,
but
you're going to be able to tell it it's not
real. It's not real. You know it's not real. Right.
The movie Jupiter Ascending did not happen.
It didn't really happen, unfortunately. But the character design was really rad. The costume design was awesome.
Yeah.
The ships are amazing.
That's cool.
I love the ships, especially the ship that the younger sibling is on. That's all I'll say.
All right.
I don't want to ruin anything, but when you go see the movie and you come back and we talk about it, you're going to know which ship I like.
All right. I'm going to go see it. I think I'm going to see it on Wednesday.
I mean, Josh, you'll love this movie. I guarantee you.
Well, in that article, they were talking about that guy who did stuff. They mentioned him in that Yodorowsky's Dune movie, the artist.
Yeah, Mobius.
Yeah. And like, that shit is cool as shit. Like I like that shit a lot. So
yeah, Mobius is awesome.
Yeah,
and the villains in this film look like Mobius characters, especially the main villain, because they're all just models. They look like models. They look gorgeous.
So they look like us.
So they look a little like you and I, Josh.
Yeah.
To be honest, but when we saw the movie, we came back and we were on the internet. And Corey brought up that interview. I think it was with AV Club. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But they're talking about the movie, and the first question they ask is, they go, a lot of people are saying that this film is a lot like Fifth Element.
Was
that an influence when you guys did it? They were like, first off, our main influence is Mobius, because everything Fifth Element did, they kind of took from Mobius.
Right.
And Mobius is like the granddaddy of modern sci-fi.
Yeah.
He made it look amazing.
You know? If you watch that Yodorowsky documentary, they list like all the things that he had like like influence on. It's like ridiculous. Like,
it's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. And his work is really fantastic too.
If you haven't
looked it up at all or ever seen it, go and do a Google search there for Mobius.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. And then Corey told me that Mobius sued the studio and they settled out of court for Fifth Element because
really?
Like, those are my ideas.
Oh man. Now I don't like that movie as much. Cause that's shitty.
Yeah. Well,
man, I wish
you could still enjoy Fifth Element. Fifth Element's still a fun time.
I wish the world would get blown up by that thing now.
Yeah, me too. But I think that every... No, I don't think that every day. I was going to make a joke. I was going to make a cynical joke, but I didn't want to.
Every Valentine's Day.
Every Valentine's Day. Jupiter Ascending was great. I think people should see it. It's a lot of fun. It is by no means a perfect movie,
mm-hmm.
but if you want to see an action movie with sci-fi ideas that you will not see in a movie of that scale, like you'll never see the ideas that they give you in this movie in any other movie.
Well, that's a shame. Like I don't know. I love sci-fi, and like unless it's like Star Trek, Star Wars, or comic books, like we're not going to see a lot of that going on.
Well,
you know?
We did just get Guardians of the Galaxy. Granted, that is a comic book.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true.
And before that, there was Cowboys and Aliens. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
I remember when that book came in. I was working at a comic shop when that comic came out.
Yeah.
And on the comic, I'd never seen it before. On the comic, it was like, soon to be a major motion picture. And
oh
I was like, what
God.
The fuck? What the fuck is this shitty little book I've never read before or heard about? And, you know, some 8 years later, the movie finally came out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it took a while for that to come out.
Yeah, it took a long time. I guess there was a lot of reason for it.
Yeah.
They wanted to make it the most good.
Yeah, they wanted to wait until Olivia Wilde was available.
But, hey, enough about this. Enough about this.
Mm-hmm.
Go see Jupiter Ascending, and let's get into some fantasy.
Fantasy fiction brought to you by Jupiter Ascending.
And the Wachowskis. And Bullet Time. By the way, the bullet time in this, because it's done by them, it looks dope. It's awesome.
Dude, they're
it's
great. They're great. I don't care what anyone says. They're great.
They're awesome.
All right, Dom. Are you ready for my story?
I am ready for your story, and I know that you're drinking some alcohol because you called it daddy juice before we hit record again.
I'm drinking some daddy juice.
Josh and I were just discussing that it's called daddy juice because some people drink it, and before they know it,
they're
a father.
It's
daddy
ironic.
Juice. Brought to you by the Wachowskis.
Oh, shit. All right. My story this week is called Ogre, the Hills, and Far Away. Inside of a sultry earth pussy lived a family of smelly, shit-eating, crap-tastic ogres. Darinos has long been a haven for ogres ever since Ograham Lincoln set the ogres free from the pain mines.
He did that?
He did that. That's canon.
Did he set the other guys free or just the ogres?
Just the ogres.
Makes sense in a racist way?
Hey, man, baby steps.
Baby steps to daddy juice.
To daddy juice. I think we all remember the moving speech he gave at the Battle of Gettysburg. And his famous quote, "Mr. Darinos, let my people get off my plane." And then he kicked a guy off of a magic carpet while simultaneously raising a Don't Tread on Me flag with a huge pot leaf on it, and the snake was also wearing Zubas.
So was he on a magic carpet or was some guy flying by on
He just roundhouses the guy off the magic carpet. Blah. Inside of the earth pussy lived a family of ogres. Now this wasn't just any family of ogres. Wait, it was? It was just a normal shitty family of ogres? Okay. Inside of the cave lived a normal, shitty family of ogres. Blort, wake up, honey. It's time for rock counting school, said Blort's mother, a matronly ogre with two pair of double G hangers, but a face that would make you Jimi Hendrix in your sleep to death.
A face that would make you throw up in your sleep and choke to your to death. Vomit. To
yes. Death. Yeah, you got it. Blort's eyes opened to the familiar sights of his room, which was no different from most ogre children's rooms. There were skulls on the wall, a ball made out of the stomach of a fire drake, several medals on the wall for ripping the most arms off at ogre camp, and a stack of ogre porn under the bed, which Blort's grandfather had given him with images of ogres lactating on each other. Yeah, Blort's grandfather was buck nasty.
I know the truth hidden inside that joke.
It's pretty hard to figure out. Blort, honey, you're going to be late again, said his mother as the camera panned down to her sweet quad hangers for what wasn't nearly enough time to take in their majesty. Blort quickly grabbed his all-seamometer and held it against a candle flame. As his mother walked in, she saw that he was taking his ober temperature in his front mouth and not his back mouth. Aw, sweet Bubula, aren't you feeling well? She questioned as she leaned over to kiss his giant gross forehead to check his temperature. You do seem a little warm. Blort faked a cough and a sneeze as his mother checked the temperature on the all-seamometer. 2,069 degrees? Oh, sweetie, you're 4 degrees over normal ogre body temperature. You're not going to rock counting school today. Yeah, I better just stay here all day while you go to work ripping limbs off. Cough, cough, Blork said as he feigned illness, making sure not to lay it on too thick because moms can smell that shit from like 10 miles away. Okay, sweetie, you just lay here and I'll bring you back some nice human head soup. That always makes you feel better. Blork feigned a fake smile while he mustered up enough snot to blow out of his disgusting nose hole for added effect. His mother walked out of the cave room and soon he heard the familiar sound of her bone car start up and drive off. As he did, he looked at the camera. Wizard Palooza time, pussies! Bow, dope, dope, chicka. He said, all cool like Ferris Bueller. Soon, Blort was off on his day of skipping school to the most badass wizard festival Big D had to offer. He had long dreamed of being a wizard, which for any ogre was pretty rare. It'd be like if a donkey became a porn star. I mean, it happens, but you don't see it every day. Unless you do, in which case, I know exactly what type of person you are. As Blort walked, he made sure not to draw attention to himself. Skipping rock counting school was punishable by instantly being turned into a skeleton, which wasn't too bad, but Blort was only a kid and still wanted his skin. He had only ever gotten to second and a half base, and that was with his cousin at ogre prom, which again, for a person, that's pretty normal. I mean an ogre. Yeah, an ogre. Blort made his way past the Devil's Shit Pit, a series of lava pits. As he did, he felt a presence he hadn't felt since. Mr. Blort! Shouted a man sitting on a mighty steed. Fudge! Blort said to himself. It was Officer Julius Lightcock, the truancy paladin and all-around most pig-like paladin of Darinos. Literally, he was a pig man. Mr. Blort, I see we're skipping school today, Lightcock said, smiling because he was a total dick. Cheese it, Blort said to himself. As he ran, Yakety Sax began to play. He ran around a lava pit with Officer Lightcock hot on his trail when suddenly a group of biker wargs rode up on their boner cycles from last episode. Well, what do we have here? Questioned Wolfman Stein. A pig chasing an ogre. Well, boys, that dog just ain't gonna hunt. You know what this means, he finished as his biker gang surrounded the paladin. Lava swirly, they all shouted, and ripped the officer down from his steed and proceeded to dunk his head over and over again into the lava pit. As they pulled him out, all that remained of his head was a burnt husk of a skull.
Whoa! Did they just murder the fantasy equivalent of a cop?
Yeah.
Damn.
Then Wolfman Stein looked at the camera and said, "Fuck the police."
Oh, man, that's good writing.
Oh, man. "You're free to go, kid," he went on. "Go be you, little ogre bro." Blurt was relieved at the murder he had just witnessed and started to continue on his journey. I didn't even remember writing that. As he turned to leave, Wolfmanstein said, "Hey, kid." Blurt turned around. "Catch," Wolfmanstein said as he threw the charred skull to Blurt, who caught it and smiled. "Let's roll this crapsicle stand, boys," said Wolf, said the Wehrman, as the gang continued on their way.
Damn.
Soon Blurt could hear the enchanting sounds of wizards doing smells, and the smell of funnel cake. Not because there was funnel cake, but that's what doing spells smells like. Sweet, sweet funnel cake.
Damn, being a wizard truly is magical.
Dude, I want to be one every day. As he approached, he saw a stage being erected, with Reese's the Wise standing in front of the microbone. "I just want to make an announcement," he said into the bone mic. "There have been reports of some bad rave rubies going around, so if you run into some rave rubies, please don't eat them. Up next, wife bones! See you sometime whenever we come back to the show," he finished. As he exploded into a puff of smoke, as the smoke dissipated, he was still standing there and slowly began to walk off stage. Can't even get off the stage right, fucking idiot.
Just in a cloud of funnel cake smell.
Oh, dude, pretty sweet.
Dude, I wish they gotta sell that candle.
Yeah, oh, dude. There's a Yankee Candle store where I live, so you know what that means.
You gonna go ask?
I'm going right now. Goodbye! Blurt took it all in. This is where he belonged. He spent the day learning all he could, because learning is the new being apathetic. He learned Fire Spell, Ice Spell, Engorgio, Oculus Reparo, and Oculus Riff Reparo. Because that thing is gonna take off, and someone's gonna have to fix them when they break.
And somebody's going to have a job in high school.
That's right. Finally, Blurt...
Rock County School.
If you can count a rock, you can fix anything.
Pretty much.
It's just math. Finally, Blurt came across an old wizard just straight dope chilling on the lawn while Icy was wizard rapping the set of his life.
Damn.
"Hey, kid, want to expand your mind?" asked the wizard. "Oh, yes, sir. I'm here to learn all I can. I want to be a wizard when I grow up." "Right on, right on," said the wizard, who had all dreads, and his beard was also in dreads. "Smash on this," he said, as he whipped his glowing green emerald staff around and magically conjured a bong made from the leg bone of a mountain troll with the words, "They see me trolling, they hating," scrawled on the side in an ancient, long-forgotten language. "Are you some kind of herbalist wizard?" Blurt asked innocently. "Yeah," said the wizard. Blurt took a huge rip from the leg bong, and instantly his mind was transformed. He suddenly realized that the magic he sought didn't come from magical staves or wands, but from within his own mind. He traveled through space and time like when Gandalf fought the Balrog, but with more big-titted, comely bitches in there. Each titty saw represented an entire age, and each set of titties themselves grew in magnificence. Finally, Blurt reached the limit of knowledge, and he came face to face with himself in a mirror. He reached out to touch the mirror, but noticed the mirror version of himself didn't move. "I am here to tell you the ultimate truth," said the mirror version of Blurt. "Are you ready?" "I am, Blurt," regular Blurt said, as he blew smoke out of his nose, and it formed into a naked woman, spread eagle, but instead of having a vagina, she had the Illuminati eye.
Damn, now that's some truth.
Dude, you know it's true if there's Illuminati eyes. "The ultimate truth is, keep on wizarding."
Damn!
And with that, the trip ended. Blurt woke up in a field, all alone, with no one around. "Shit," he said. "I gotta get home. Mom's gonna kill me. Blorp began to run as fast as his pudgy little ogre legs could carry him. As he got near his cave home, he saw his mother's bone car already in the cave driveway with a bunch of paladin steeds with siren lights blaring on them.
Oh, damn.
Farts, he thought. He decided to sneak back in through the back secret entrance to his room. He slipped in unnoticed and crawled into bed. As he did, his mother and the PODs came in. Where have you been, young man? She demanded to know. Blort said. Suddenly, a puff of magical smoke appeared in the room, and a wizard appeared. It was the herbalist from Wizardpalooza. I may be of some assistance, he said. Oh, Dr. Wizenstein from town, Blort's mother said in shock. Yes, it is I. Blort was with me today. I was helping him with his illness. That's illness with capital I-L-L. He should be okay now. He just needs some rest. Well, why didn't you say so, Blort? His mother said, relieved. I'll tell you, you had me worried sick. Dr. Wizenstein gave Blort a wink as he disappeared again. Blort's mother leaned over and kissed his head. Now you rest now, sweetie, she said as she left the room. Suddenly, Blort's all-sea ball flashed on and Doc Wizenstein appeared in ghost form in his room. Weed will always be with you. Always, he said, then disappeared. Blort laid back and put his hands behind his head, relaxed, and put his all-sea headphones on his ears. Slow Ride began to play as he closed his eyes. Wizards smoking weedsy. Wizards suck on these nuts. Finn.
Oh my gosh, Josh. That was a great story.
Thank
that was
you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I loved it. I had a great time. This was like seeing Jupiter ascending again.
That's Jupiter ascending.
Sponsored by the Wachowskis.
Now in movie theaters.
Now in movies. For not long. Not much longer. Go see it.
You better go see it like today because it's Tuesday.
Josh, are you ready for my tale of ogres and herbalists?
I'm fucking ready.
Damn, he's got his daddy juice in.
I got daddy juice in my belly. That sounded like jizz.
I think it's in your blood now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. This one's called Big Adventure in Little Orc Spire.
We got a good 80s theme going on.
So far, so good. It was nearing the end of winter in Orkspire, the land where dudes flex their muscles and other men compliment them in a total non-gay way.
I wish we lived in that world.
Well, we kind of do. Stay tuned.
Okay.
I mean, once you start working out, you tend to notice other great bodies, but more so the time that went into those bodies. Props to hot bods and huge dicks that look nice on hot bods. One particular hot bod was laying out in the winter sun, catching some rays. An incredible goblin body, chiseled by the gods of bodybuilding themselves.
Oh, man.
His bod was so hot that steam was constantly coming off of it in the cold winter air, like he was just chilling in some eternal fog, like a Navy SEAL commercial or some shit.
I'm joining.
Also, his nips were hard as fuck. This hot cut of hunk was Studley Biception, the older brother of Stinkline the Goblin.
Oh!
who was literally and figuratively living in his shadow where it was significantly colder. Studley
too smart of a joke.
Studley was plotting out how he was going to take 17 girls out on dates in one night. Three with the same girl. Well, I guess I could take them all to the same tavern and use that old, I have 17 identical twins and we all have food poisoning technique. Yeah, that's it. I'll just bring 17 different toe rings. Bingo, bango.
Dude, genius.
Stinkline, a.k.a. the undertaker of his own butthole, limped out of the shadows and approached his brother. Brother, snorted Stinkline, how is it that people like you but disgust old mildewy me? I cannot go on one date. You want to look at some boobs, huh? Studley opened a magazine and looked at 100 boobs for 5 minutes, then turned back to Stinkline and continued. Then you're going to have to do something heroic, like I did with sculpting my body into the most muscly form. I didn't do it for me. I did it for Orkspire.
Yes!
And what a marvelous thing you did. Sometimes I peek at your magnificent muscles while you shower, and I try not to get excited, but I cannot help myself around a naked body.
Thank God, Stinkline.
Said Stinkline the Goblin as he dripped something white. Stinkline, you are absolutely disgusting. I mean, you are my brother and all, but seriously, I don't know why I'm speaking to you. Perchance that someone might be listening and transcribing this into dialogue in a larger story about you, which would be very unfortunate for everyone. Stinkline ripped a bassy fart that you could feel rumble inside of your own body.
Like when you're at a parade and like the drums go by?
Yep. Yep. I'm pretty sure that one moved the doomsday clock ahead by 2 minutes.
The doomsday clock,
said Stinkline as Studley wondered what the hell the doomsday clock was.
They don't have that shit.
Mummies came out of nowhere to beat Stinkline's ass, but Studley cut them all in half with one chop of his mighty chopping arm. If you're going to go on an adventure, you better get going. That one brought the mummies out. Stinkline wandered through the forest aimlessly when he heard some voices talking, then shouting, then pain voices like someone got punched. Stinkline hurried toward the voices but was careful not to make a noise. The goblin came upon a simple cart surrounded by skeletal warriors.
Oh, man.
But not that came upon. Give us your gold. Wait, what's that?
You have to specify with Stinkline.
You gotta make sure.
Yeah, because he's a fucking disgusting shithead.
Give us your gold and the sausage shipment, dwarf, before we kill your only son, shouted one of the skeletons. Yes, we are evil thieves who have done their research, added another skeleton. I'm thinking about lighting your wooden nipples on fire. No, yelled the older dwarf. Stinkline mustered up all of his courage and stepped forward with his arms in the air. Stop what you're doing. It is... Oh, no. Pee is coming out.
Oh, God.
The skeleton warriors turned their red eyes upon the goblin, who began to quiver and sweat and pee more. Then he began to salivate as he noticed the cart was full of sausage. Holy shit, let's cripple this dude's ass. He yelled a skeleton, and then he punched Stinkline in the face. The other skeletons joined in, and when they were through with Stinkline, they tore open his shirt and spray-painted NWO on his back.
Dude, that's awesome.
After the beatings, one of the skeleton warriors dropped his club and said, hey, does anyone else feel, like, really good after beating that horrible goblin's ass? You know, I was just gonna say the same thing, said the other skeleton. I guess we all just kind of had a lot of pent-up anger inside of us. We just need to get it out. Yeah, I feel like a weight has been lifted off me. Like I could go be my own skeleton or something, not having to follow anyone's orders anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's go get jobs as reference models for an art school, said the last talking skeleton as they all threw their weapons down and walked off holding hands.
I'm glad that they found some peace in their life.
Some hours later, Stinkline opened his eyes to the dwarf father and son that owned the cart. Wow, he's waking up, spoke the father dwarf. Got any cheese, said Stinkline as he seemed to fart a fart that breathed life back into him through his own butthole, but released death to any surrounding insects or plants.
It's like a soul stone fart.
You should be dead after the beating you took, spoke the younger dwarf. The father and son, they have different accents. It's kind of my thing, replied Stinkline. I can take almost any beating, no matter how savage, brutal, or how many wooden planks with knives stabbed through them they beat me with. Well, it's good you're okay, said Dwarf Dad. And thank you once again for protecting our shipment of ogre toe sausage. It is mostly swamp rat toe, added the dwarf son. But we use a lot of sausage filler, a.k.a. animal sack. So the sausage really isn't for anyone who isn't starving. Sounds great, said Stinkline as he picked himself up and stumbled over to the cart where he began to gnaw and drool on fistfuls of sausage. He was loving it. Well, I am the sausage king. It says so here on the cart, said Dwarf Dad, gesturing to a sign on the cart where every word was spelled wrong and some letters were not letters. My son's an herbalist. He seasons the sausage. Mm-hmm. I use mostly grass and ragweed, though I have been known to experiment with dry grass, said the younger dwarf. But I could make some really delicious sausage if I could just retrieve the satchel of sick-ass seasons, which happens to be right over there in that spooky graveyard. Now, son, added Dwarf Dad, you know that room the satchel is in is for true-blooded royalty. And you know that tomb is haunted, and you know you need a hero to even step foot in there. Stinkline realized his chance. Help Dwarf Son become some kind of super-seasoned boy and become a hero. Soft snow fell on the cemetery as Stinkline and Prince Sausage pushed open its metal gate. An owl swooped in and perched itself upon a tiny grave that read, Here lie Owlin the Owl, friend to all, foe to a 1567 Mustang bone gun. The goblin and dwarf made their way to a mausoleum with royal seals all over it. They pushed that door open too. A giant armored skeleton was curling a dumbbell as the two walked into the mausoleum. The skeleton carefully placed the dumbbell onto the rack, turned to the goblin and prince and shouted, 15! I mean, who dare come in here?
It's good that he's responsible with his weights, like they tell you to be at the gym.
Oh, yeah, you gotta be careful. You can't just drop that.
Yeah, you gotta put it back.
I bruise easy, shouted Stinkline as a second wave of beatings began. This went on until the giant skeleton got tired and fell asleep. The dwarf and goblin continued searching the mausoleum when they...
They just continue.
They just went on about their ways. But before long, they spotted it. The satchel of sick-ass seasons. It was placed neatly in a just-sitting-there kind of way, but in the hands of a statue of a once-royal chef. So, I mean, someone set it up. But anyway.
Props.
That's it, shouted the dwarf son, when suddenly the mausoleum began to rumble. Run, shit, run! Shouted Stinkline, but it was too late. Dwarf son began to glow gold and float.
Whoa.
As he did, something sang. He is the sausage prince. He is actually a real ass prince. You thought it was all made up, but this boy can season some sausage. The satchel floated over to the dwarf son, and the two landed. We did it! I retrieved the satchel! My life will slightly improve! Thank you, Goblin! The dwarf went to hug Stinkline, when suddenly, all the tombs opened up and buff mummies came out. The buffest mummy looked at Stinkline, then turned to his buff mummy brothers and shouted, "Looks like beatings back on the menu, boys!"
Fuck yeah.
The end.
Dude, that was a great story. I thought you were going to go Stinkline was royalty, but of course he's not.
Of course not. His only redeeming quality is getting his ass beat so bad that people ignore what they were going to fight.
They just like get tired. They're like,
yeah,
we're done.
Or they tire themselves out.
We made a Ferris Bueller reference in both of our stories.
We did
it again. So
we are brothers.
If you're at home playing the take home edition of Fantasy Fiction Bingo, do a shot.
Do a shot and move your piece back three spaces.
Yes.
All right, well, thanks, everyone, for listening to another episode of Fantasy Fiction.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah!
Ah, buff mummies!
Yeah, buff mummies who lift fucking their own sarcophagus.
Yeah!
They bench press it and squat it. That's how they get rich.
While they're in it. How do they do that?
If you want to support the show, you can do so by buying a t-shirt at fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com. If you need a link, you can find it on our Facebook page, or we tweet out links often on Twitter. So, actually, if you just type fantasy fiction shirt, I think it should
It'll come up.
Google. It'll,
the internet.
Yeah, you guys are good. You guys know how to use it.
You know.
It. You downloaded a podcast. You know how to use it. Clearly. We also have a P.O. box if you wanted to send us something. Some people have emailed us asking where they can send things. You can mail us at Fantasy Fiction, P.O. Box 41, Fairless Hills, P.A. 19030, U.S.A.
The best country in the world besides...
In the world. The best one.
Yes.
Guess how many of us have iPhones? So many of us.
People who can't even afford food have iPhones. That's how great we are.
If you did send us something to the P.O. Box, please send us an email and let us know what you sent us so we can properly thank you.
Yeah, we'll thank you on the show.
Yeah, so we can thank you on the show as well and mention you.
Yes.
And get your name out there so people know who Mark is.
Yeah, or maybe your name's like... Haley or Heather, Janny,
whatever it is.
Maybe you made your own name up.
Just make it up. We made up this whole show.
Yeah,
Cliff. Another way to support the show is by leaving an iTunes review. And Josh, did you have a review picked out that you
wanted to
read?
I have a good review picked out. It's by Glitched Pixel, and it's titled "Wholesale." Family Entertainment. Wholesome. Sorry, not wholesale. Wholesome Family Entertainment.
Okay, I was going to make sure. We are not offering wholesale.
No, we're already free. So
yeah, it's already free.
Five stars, and it says, "I'd never show this to my mom. My dad might appreciate it. He left me a fart as a voicemail once. He's 52.
Your dad... might appreciate it. Your dad might appreciate this episode. It had some farts in it.
There's a mom in this episode. Maybe your mom wants to listen to that.
Your mom will like it. She's in the episode. Maybe she'll like her dope hangers.
Yeah. Maybe.
But once again, thank you guys for doing everything you do, listening to the show. And if you're on YouTube and you're listening and you want to suggest a prompt, go ahead and leave a comment and let us know what you think we should write about in the next episode.
Yeah, don't pick herbalists or ogres. That was this episode.
That was this episode, okay? And if you say war, Josh and I won't be able to do it still because
it's too big.
There's a bit of organization that goes on with just recording this episode.
Yeah, we got like to organize like an army. Like that takes at least.
That's so long. Ugh. Oh my god. I mean, we honestly, that would be a fantasy fiction fantasy is a war between the two things.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future. Maybe in the future.
Yes.
But hey, if you're listening to YouTube anyway, why don't you go ahead and like, subscribe, comment with just whatever you want to put, and just have a great time.
Yeah, just do whatever. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You do whatever.
I'll tell you what to do, but I'll list things you could do.
There it is.
Like go see Jupiter Ascending.
Jupiter Ascending. Fantasy fiction brought to you by Jupiter Ascending.
Fantasy fiction brought to you by a movie Dom liked and Josh will probably like.
Brought to you by a movie 50% of us have seen.
You know, I think 50 Shades of Grey grossed bigger
than Jupiter Ascending.
Box office profits, yeah, than Jupiter's. I'm pretty sure. They made $81 million in their first weekend, I think.
That's pretty dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. A lot of people I know went to go see it out of irony, and I thought that was pretty silly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like 30 years old. Like, I don't go see movies out of irony anymore.
No, I got better things to do.
Yeah. I gotta write my story.
Yeah, I gotta fucking work out my body.
I gotta drink this daddy juice. It ain't gonna drink itself.
Thanks so much for listening once again, everyone. And,
thank you.
Until next week, Joshua's mid-sip, but until next week.
Until next week, keep on wizarding.
Keep on wizarding. Sometimes you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I don't know if I could do it today, but you can.
Because you look
at just got a wizard. You're a wizard, Harry. Come to Hogwarts and fucking get BDNWP.
Finger some witch babes. You know we
finger
did.
Finger maybe a ghost.
He took a bath with that ghost. I mean, Jesus.
Oh, damn. That's right.
You know that ghost in real life is like 48 years old?
Really?
She's old as shit.
Damn, I didn't know that.
I'd
Moaning
figure.
Myrtle?
Yeah, she's like really old.
Hmm, interesting. Well, now we all know.
Now we know.
The truth about her hideous age.
Her disgusting age.
Keep on wizarding, everyone. Have a good week. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.